Job chapter number 1. I want to remind the church we have vacation Bible school scheduled July 16 through 19. July 16 through 19. We're going to start on that Sunday night. And that day the Rowlands will be in with us, both services. I'm looking so forward to that. Brother Ron, Miss Aquila. They're going to be singing here at Liberty that morning. They'll be back with us that night. Then the kids are going to break away at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, the 16th. They'll be having Bible classes downstairs. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, July 17, 18, and 19 at 7 o'clock. I hope you'll have your children here. Bring your neighbor's children here. And let's put the gospel in these children. You know, I preach a thought the other day about Enoch. Enoch had a responsibility to his community. So do we. You and I are, most of the time, the only Bibles that people will ever read. And it's what we're doing in front of them, how we're behaving, how we are responding. Because it does matter how we respond to what is put into our life. So, be a witness. Remember, ministry is about getting the gospel out. I don't want to see my worst enemy die and go to hell. And in our culture and in our society, it seems that hell is a myth. But it's not a Bible myth. It's a Bible mandate that you must be born again. And let's be mindful of the gospel. The book of Job, chapter number 1. By the way, do you ever think that you can be seated this morning. I need to do something. Be seated a minute. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word of God today. Have you ever wondered, you that get your children up, and I know that it is a challenge, but have you ever noticed when you get your children to church and they leave, they're sitting here many times and they're writing in a coloring book. They're playing with their tractors or trucks. And they got Spider-Man on the pew. They got their baby doll on the pew. You ever wonder, are they really getting anything from what you're doing? How many times has the devil told you when you left your church that I didn't get nothing much out of that? But can I tell you that God is doing things when we're not even looking? I remember one night I was preaching down in Alabama. There was a little girl, she was had her coloring book and baby doll. She was on the second pew. She was coloring, she was talking to her baby. I noticed her. I reckon God just had me to look at her a minute. I just kept preaching. I preached a message on when Jesus walks in the temple. That little girl that night, about 7 years old, she left out. She woke her mom and daddy up about midnight. So that preacher tonight preached on when Jesus comes in the temple, He cleans out the temple. And I need Jesus to clean out my temple tonight. I want to be saved. That little girl got saved. Come revival meeting the next night and stood up and said, Jesus cleaned out my temple. You ever wonder if your kids are getting anything out of church? You ever wonder, the majority here goes to Ranburn, Bowden, Carrollton, or Central. You ever wonder what your kids are getting at school about God? Does it ever cross your mind about what your children is grasping out of the church you attend? Brother Ryan, have we been able to get that up? I don't know if I've ever done this, but God nudged my heart this week to do this. I've got a message prepared to preach, and I intend to preach it, but I want to deal with this just one second, and I'm not even going to mention a name. I don't know if the name's on it or not. That's not that important today. The point I'm driving in is I'm going to show to you a handwritten letter that a little girl out of our church, I understand, wrote at her school. And I want you to see what that she's been able to get. And I want to remind you, Mom and Daddy's had to bring this little child to church. They can't just get out at 5, 4, and 6 years old and walk to church. You've got to determine to get your young'uns where preaching's going on. Can we highlight this right here? I'm going to read this in her little handwriting. 6:13. God is good. He made the world. Everybody should respect Him. He is the best. I love this. The best thing. T-H-A-N-G. He's the best thing in the world. Everybody should believe in Him. Jesus died on the cross for us. He died on the cross because He wanted to take our sins back. And because He loves us, and kids should respect their parents. And parents should punish their kids by putting them in time out and spanking them. That's it. Raise it up, Brother Ryan. Could I ask you something? Could your children, where you're sending them, could they... The takeaways that they write about, would they put God in the forefront? This morning I'm going to preach a real unusual message I've never preached before. God's had on my heart. Most of you folks are regular people here and you've heard Bible a long time. And I'm going to preach out of Job 1 on what Job's children said. Today's Father's Day. I preached this year with a woman with a pot of oil on Mother's Day. God's going to allow me to use that message this coming week, I think. But this morning, I'm interested in the text in Job. The Bible said there was a man. Boy, we need more of him in this country. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was perfect. He's upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she-asses in a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. In verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning. He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. All for Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Father, we love You this morning and we thank You for this day. We thank You that You are our Father by Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, You are the Father of all fathers, the fathers of lights. I thank You this morning. I want to thank You for little children, God, that will write a letter that can encourage our hearts just by the little mind and hands of simple ones. May You remind the leadership of our church this morning that our effort is not in vain. May You remind us that the Word of God is still right. And the responsibilities that You've given us as a church way outweigh the responsibilities that You've given to another group of people. Help us this morning. I'm a needy preacher and I need You to help me and touch me to be a blessing. And I pray if there'd be one here lost today that You would save them by Your amazing grace. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You. Amen. And amen. Now, I want to preach this morning on what Job's children would say about their daddy. What Job's children would say about their daddy. I want to say, first of all, they would say they had a daddy of faith. Daddy, can your children say that you are a man of faith? You that are raising children by yourself and the dad's not in the picture, ma'am, can I bring this down to where we all live this morning? Could your children say that you are a woman of faith? You'll notice here that the Bible said that Job was a perfect man. That did not mean that he was sinless. But it did mean that he was complete. He was well-rounded. He was everything that God expected him to be. I can't say that this morning. But I want to strive at it every day of my life. You see, Job was a man of faith. He was perfect. Second statement about him, he was upright. The Bible simply said he was perfect and upright. Now, upright, that had to do with his relations to others. He was upright to others. I preached on Enoch the other morning where he walked with God. He walked upright. And if there's ever a generation that God needs in America, it is this morning for men and women and boys and girls to walk upright in a godless generation. Now the Bible said he was perfect. He was a well-rounded man. He didn't disappoint God much. And then he was upright. This had to do with relations to others. And then thirdly, the next time something is mentioned about him, he feared God. That tells me he was a saved man. He was a separated man. How was Job saved? He is saved the way everybody's saved, by faith. He believed God. And he feared God. America no longer fears God as a whole. Isn't it amazing? When we were young children, we would hear of crime and just terrible things going on that everybody lived far away from us. But now it's where we live. Why, you go to Atlanta, you've got to have a Gatling gun to go out to eat supper. The Bible said he feared God. We need the fear of God back in our land. And we really don't have the fear of God in our churches anymore. We don't fear God as a generation. Folks, you better understand this Bible's right, and I'm glad you come to church this morning, but I wouldn't be much of a preacher at all if I didn't tell you this Bible says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the only way you go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He feared God. Thirdly, he eschewed evil. The fourth thing he said, he eschewed evil. In other words, he stayed away from it. He tried to see there was nothing questionable in his life. We ought to live that way. When things come up that's questionable, it ought to bother us. And it ought to bother us to the fact that we ought to pray God we would have the strength not to do them things anymore. He eschewed evil. He tried to stay away from evil. You would not find him in the who's who category of people in America today. You would not find him in places that even many of our church people go. He eschewed evil. Hey, let me tell you, if you go in a nightclub, you go in a dark place, you're going to be doing things that them kind of people do. You're not bigger than that. You're not bigger than the bottle. You're not bigger than a pill. You're not bigger than somebody else. You better realize this flesh ain't saved, and we better stay away from evil. You shoot evil. Now, could you imagine being raised in a home like this? Could you imagine having a dad of faith? Many of you has had the dad of faith. Thank God for them. Those men that has blazed a trail across this country, they get up every day of their life, they'd go work and they'd provide for their family. They'd come home, they'd try to live for God through the day, and they'd pillow their head at night without their conscience barking at them. Thank God I had a daddy that tried to do right. Some of you never had the privilege that I had. I had good influence around me, and I still got on the wrong trail. I talked with a young man yesterday. He said, "Preacher, please don't erase me out of your life." He said, I need you in my life. I need that kind of influence in my life. I believe if Job's children were to talk to us today, they'd say, "I had a daddy of faith." Number two, I believe that they would say, "We had a daddy that loved his family." Verse number two, watch this. I caught this studying this week. "There were born unto him, not unto her." But then that's something, because every word in the Bible is right. "And there were born unto him." Now, we know that Job's wife gave birth to them children. There's no question. We know that men cannot produce a baby, even though this crazy crowd is trying to come up with that concoction. "But there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. I want to say through this statement, he was a man that had great responsibility to his family. You see, he just didn't bring them into this world. He seen about them when he got them in this world. Big difference. That's what's wrong with our young kids today. A lot of daddies bringing them into the world, but when they get here, they don't want nothing to do with them.
And that something the Bible said was born unto him. Now, I want you to hold your place. I want to turn over the book of Ephesians, and I want to remind all the daddies this morning about our responsibility. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look up here, children. It's still right to obey your mama and daddy.
You say, well, how old do you got to be before you quit minding them? You always going to be somebody's youngin'.
Man, when I was 35 years old, my daddy would have told me something. And it didn't go against the God of this Bible and the convictions of this Bible. And it didn't hurt my family that I was responsible. We got a word in Georgia. I'd be Johnny. I'll be glad to find out who Johnny is when we get to heaven. But I'd be Johnny. I'd have done everything I know to do to please my daddy. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's promise goes with that commandment, children. God promises that He will bless you and keep you if you'll honor your father and your mother. Watch, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. Here it is, verse 4. And ye fathers. Isn't it amazing God doesn't mention the woman right here? I'm talking about where was born unto Job. But I hook it back in Ephesians 6 where Paul's writing. He says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That means to urge along with anger. Provoke not your children wrath. Here it is. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Sirs, it's your responsibility before God to raise your children in a godly environment. Sir, it's your responsibility to see about the welfare of your family. You're to be the headship and the leadership of your home. No questions asked. And so that was born unto him. If you ask Job's children about Job, you say, I tell you, my daddy was a man of faith. My daddy was a man that loved his family. Because he had great responsibility. We were born unto him. You see, my children are my responsibility. Your children, sir, are your responsibility. Then, not only in this family was he a man of responsibility, he was a man of respect. He was a man of restraint. I would imagine if he was raised in Job's house, it was more than time out. I would imagine if he was raised in Job's house, you didn't do what you wanted to do, but you did what Job said to do. When will you learn that 5 and 6 year old children need to quit making decisions for you because you're grown? And I don't know if you remember this or not, but the decisions my daddy told me, I didn't like all of them. But there was an issue there. He paid the bills, so I did what he said to do. I went to bed when he said to go to bed. I come home when he said go home. My mama used to tell me, we were so far out in the country, you remember them old quilts that they'd make him, ladies would make? My wife makes fun of them now. My mama, I'd go get on her nerves, and she'd say, go get that quilt, go lay out there on the shade, and see if you can see any cars come down the road. Wise race, you didn't see about 2 cars all day. One of them was my daddy coming home, and if she met him at the garage, honey, it wasn't time out. He was going to take care of business when he got home. I never will forget, my daddy worked public work, and I had a sister. I had two, but the one right over me,
She made chocolate oatmeal cookies one day. I love them things. And you know, they won't get hard. They'll get gooey sometimes. She made a big batch of them. A man was out there in an old country house. I was a mean little rascal. I wadded up that big cookie like a baseball and I'd rear back. And I flung that thing across the living room. They didn't have cell phones then. We had them party lines. I'll never forget my sister got on that telephone, got that phone. She called my daddy. And you know what he told her? He said, "You sit on him till I get there." You see, I believe at Job's house, he was a man of family. How we need strong leaders in our community and in our church. That a man is looking about the welfare of his family. Let me tell you why my daddy disciplined me. Because he loved me. The principal would tear my nerves up when I got in trouble. But I'm going to tell you what really tore more than my nerves up when my daddy found out about it. Job's children say, "Daddy was a man of faith. Daddy was a man of great family." Verse 3, "My daddy was a man of great fortune." My daddy, God really blessed him. Bible said in verse 3, "His substance also, 7,000 sheep." Isn't it amazing God mentioned his young ones before he did his assets? We better put our priorities in order this morning. You may be working 70 hours a week to get ahead and to have things that you really don't need, but don't lose focus of your children. I want to say that it's all right to have things. Just don't let things have you. And here, they would say, "I can tell you my daddy was a man of faith. My daddy was a man of family. But my daddy was a man of great favor. God had been good to my daddy." Now, we'll notice this. His great claims. The Bible said in verse number 3, his substance. Matter of fact, he was a man that had great substance. His great claims, but then secondly, his great fame. The Bible said that he was the greatest, in verse 3, the greatest of all the men of the East. He was a man of great favor. He had claims. He had fames. And he had a great name. The Bible simply said this in verse number 3. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. If you mentioned Job's name in that community, everybody knew Job. I tell you what they knew about it. They knew he was a man of faith. Because he wouldn't do what most of that crowd was doing. They knew he was a man of family. He loved his family. He was a man of great favor, and it didn't take you long to be around him. God had been good to him. And by the way, God has blessed the multitude of people that I get to pastor. But you better never forget this. You better never forget where your bread's buttered at. God has purposed to be good to you and to me. He's purposed. You've applied yourself and God's done what He said He would do. He would bless you. But you had to apply yourself. There's nobody here that's got to apologize about the blessing of God. God's been good to you. Some of your bank accounts are bigger than others. But honey, when it gets down to when all the money's gone, you look at who you are and what you got and how good God's been to you. You're the richest person in your community. What would Job's children say? They say, "My daddy was a man of faith. My daddy was a
man of family. My daddy was a man of great favor. But I want to close with this. They say, I tell you something about my daddy. And it's in verse number 5. My daddy was a man of great fervency. He stayed about his job. Look in verse 5. You ever notice this about Job? And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them offered. Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now watch verse 4. His sons went and feasted in their houses. Underline this, and I always remember this. Everyone his day. You know what they were doing? On their birthday, they were celebrating. Everyone on his day, they sent and called for their sisters to eat and to drink with them. Now this is the deal, and I'm going to finish this sermon. Job was a blessed man. In return, his children got in on the benefit. Children, you better be thankful that God has blessed you with a mom and daddy that He's favored this morning. On their birthday, they celebrated. Y'all come over. And this is why I say he was a daddy of fervency. It bothered him how blessed he was because his blessing carried over on them. And when they had this celebration party, he was afraid it got out of bounds. To whom much is given, much is required. Now, I'll tell you what bothered Job. My young'uns got together. They're having a good time. I sure hope they ain't done nothing crazy. That ever bother you if your young'uns get to acting crazy? Oh, let me preach for y'all. Does it ever bother you when you act crazy? Now, here's the thought, and I'm done. Notice his promptness. The Bible simply said in verse number 5 that he rose up early in the morning. You know what he was doing? He was going to God. What did you do the first thing this morning you got up? Did anybody go get God? It's so easy to get off what you're supposed to be doing. Because we're so busy. Job was a man so blessed, but he didn't forget about the blesser. He woke up and he rose up early. He was a man of great fervency. Cause why? He had promptness. He rose up early. And then watch this. Not only his promptness, but his protection. Now, this is what he said in verse 5. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Listen. This is a good sermon, by the way. Listen, this is so good. And I didn't come up with it, but I wrote it down. He didn't concern himself with his children's success, but he concerned himself about his children's sin. He didn't concern himself about his children getting ahead. He's concerned about how his young'uns was living with God. His promptness, his protection. But now watch this. Watch his pity. I want to preach so bad on Job's friends that I studied out this week. His pity. It may be that my sons have sinned. It may be.
Can I say something? It could happen to yours. Yours ain't above it. Maybe. But my young'uns have sinned. Does that bother any families today, how your children's living for God? His pity. He showed pity. I want to say this because two things. We don't have church tonight. You need preaching. And then I probably won't never get to preach what I'm wanting to say, so I'm going to say it. Job's friends, he had three that showed up after this great disaster, this great tragedy comes to his home. And these three of them walked down there, and you know what they done? They stayed 7 days and seven nights. If I get down on the bed of affliction on my back, don't come stare at me 7 minutes. Pray for me. Don't come 7 days and seven nights. One was a spiritualist. He tried to make sense out of everything. The other one was a traditionalist. He had everything figured out. And the other one was a legalist. He accused Job of all his sin that he'd done. They all had answers, but they didn't know about the questions. And you see, this is something about Job. Job didn't have chapter 1, chapter 2. He's walking with God. All of a sudden, disaster hit, and his friends show up and accuse him of why this has happened. You better be careful how you're the judge and jury on people and you don't know chapter 1, chapter 2. He's a man of pity. You see, these men that showed up with Job, they lacked a sympathetic heart. They were more interested in a theological question and answer than just showing sympathy. It's some things we don't know about. It's some things that God does and God allows that we don't have answers for. But we can be sympathetic with people. Job, let's say he was a daddy of fervency, Ken. He was prompt. He protected. He showed us pity. It may be that my sons have sinned. And nobody's young'uns are beyond it. And that's what I appreciate about liberty. I don't get this sense of criticism when people come to office and they've been in trouble. And you know, many years ago, people looked and said, well, they're getting what they deserve. What me and you deserve? There's a boy come to church here the other day. He couldn't even set up and listen to the preacher. He's having withdrawals off heroin. Sick in the foyer. Brother Will and them had to get in the hospital. Who would we be to say you don't belong here? If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be at the ER this morning. Or we'd be in the graveyard. We need to learn to show some sympathy. Yes, people need to try to help themselves and put things in the right order. But if we're going to help anybody in this generation, we better show some compassion and long-suffering and mercy. Let God handle it. Has it ever dawned on you when you give money to somebody, you give them $20 and went and bought dope with it? And it's what you said. But it's what you don't understand. What they did with that money don't rob you of your blessing. If somebody lets you down because you've helped them and you looking for that excuse not to help nobody no more, I'm going to tell you right now, don't get started, because they're going to let you down. If you're looking to be a blessing to somebody that'll take care of it right and see about you, you're not going to be a blessing to many people. Because people will misuse you. They will abuse you. But you always remember this, God's got a book. I've been wanting to get this whole thought all morning. His promptness, His protection, His pity. Then look at here, His praying. He offered burnt offerings. He paid a sacrifice. This thing stood up in me, and the Bible said He rose up early in the morning and He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Hey, children, I tell you what Job's children say. My daddy made sacrifices for us. You that are raised, I thank the Lord in heaven I had a daddy that made sacrifices for me. He sacrificed a lot of things that I could have better things. Now, look what He does. He rose early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number, look, of them all. He didn't have partials. They all meant something to Him. And when God entrusts us with children, Miss Emily, you come. If I'm going to quit preaching, you just come piano. He rose and He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He's concerned about every last one of them. Let me tell you what. Some of your children may behave better than others. Some of your children may be closer to you than others, but you always remember this. God has given you responsibility to love them all. God loves us all. Now, what you about? He offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, you know what happens. The devil shows up in heaven. And God asked Job something. Or God asked the devil something about Job. He said, you know about Job? He said, oh, I know all about Job, God. So you got a hedge around everything he's got. I done been over there. I've tried to get through it. I've tried to get everything that he's got. But God, you've got a hedge about everything he's got over there. And you know the story. God took the hedge down. Dear God, please keep the hedge up and please give me a sense not to tear the hedge down myself. Here's the thought. He lost all them children that day. He lost all of his wealth. He lost everything he had. And his wife comes up. And she said, curse God and die. But before you're real hard on her, she's just buried 10 children. She's just lost everything they've ever had. Don't be too hard on her. And this is what Job done. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, in verse 7 of chapter 2, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot into his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And look what he done. And he sat down among the ashes. Where'd that fire come from? Could I say this? Was there a possibility that Job sat down where he'd made that sacrifice? And he sat down and he rested. Before he'd done his praying. Could it be that Job sat down in the sacrifice that he had paid for his family? Daddies, when you meet God, can you rest with your conscience that you've made a sacrifice for your family? I've got a place to pray specifically. I'm moving out of that house in a few weeks by the grace of God if He allows me to. And I was thinking yesterday, Lord, where's going to be my prayer place? Here. I've got several places there now, but where's going to be my specific place I go pray? Renee said one of the biggest things to me that complimented me the other day, and she didn't know she said it. In my study at home now, I've got a solid door. And that door's closed, Renee, never comes on there, because many times I close the door, and that's where I pray, in there by a chair. Here, where we're moving to, I've got a half glass in that door. She said, Daddy, I'm glad you've got that half glass. So now if the door's locked, I can look in and see if you're praying or if I can come in and talk to you. He said, why you say all that? Because that's what I want to say. I'm done preaching. You making any sacrifices for your children? I bet they look back and say, I tell you one thing my daddy did. He made a lot of sacrifices for us. The reason many of you are blessed, because your mama and daddy has sacrificed. The reason we're here this morning, because many of our forefathers have sacrificed. And I don't know what you need this morning. My sister plays, and I want to open up this altar. I realize here it's on Father's Day, but I just want to ask you, is it anything that you need to come pray about this morning? This altar's open. I'm done preaching. I just wonder, has God touched your heart with any thought this morning?